Quick question. Want your content to sound as crisp as How to Kill an Hour's? Course you do. And the Blue Yeti is one of the best mics out there to help you sound your best. It has different settings so you can record vocals for music, podcasts, Twitch streaming, YouTube videos, or any audio project that would normally require multiple microphones. We even used one for this advert. Whether you're recording at home, on the road, or anywhere in between, Yeti's Tri-Capsule technology helps you produce studio quality recordings every single time. Yes, of course, the Blue Yeti works with both Mac and PC via USB. Plus, it has a 3.5mm headphone jack so you can monitor audio in real time. Do yourself a favor and level up your audio. Plus, get yourself 15% off your new Blue Yeti by going to bluemic.com and entering code YETIPOD15. That's bluemic.com and offer code YETIPOD15.
You serious?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to How to Kill an Hour, the podcast all about tech and loosely sometimes about our lives. He's Marcus Bronzy. I am Nick Bright. Welcome to the show, man.
Yes, welcome to How to Kill an Hour, man. Loosely about our lives as well.
fully is. I say loosely. I spend most of the time on this podcast just like therapy.
It is, isn't it? It is. But you know what? Nick, I'll tell you what, Nick and I have been working on this story and I just want to say, I think nowadays tech is cool, right? And I'd say nerdy is cool, geek is cool now. And not just because me and Nick cover it. but back in the day, I think that there was this stereotype, even like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, yeah, there's a stereotype around people that worked in tech being like sort of super, super like not cool. And the story that we have covered about somebody who was very large in the virus protection section of tech is just rock and roll beyond belief.
Yeah, it is absolutely wild. You know, it's funny how, like you say, there's this perception of people that work in technology as like, you know, nerds really sitting there like, oh, look at the code on this, isn't it lovely? It's like, that is just not, that is not real when it comes to this guy. But I kind of feel like maybe back in the day, this guy was an exception rather than the rule. Whereas now, people that work in tech, they're like super cool, innit? Like Silicon Valley, they live in San Francisco, you know, they're living life, they're all earning big peas. Like, whereas back in the day, it was a little bit different. And yeah, this guy definitely broke the mold.
Yeah, you think he's a bit of an outlier, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. How you doing anyway, Nick? How's things? You've been a busy boy, bro. Like every time I'm on the timeline checking up on Nick, because obviously that's the easiest way of finding out, I feel like you're just presenting radio, like on four different stations, live. It's crazy, man.
It's busy at the minute, you know. But you know, in this industry, when you're technically a freelancer, you work for yourself. It's great to be busy, you know. So I'm not going to complain, but it's like trying to fit stuff in. It's just a lot at the moment, but yeah, it's really good. It's really cool.
Can we talk about what you're doing for Red Bull? Because this episode is probably going to go out before that comes out. Can we talk about that? Because I think it's a great gig. That
let's do it.
So is it called the Fluke? I'm going to get the name wrong. Can you with the Fluke?
It's called Flugtag.
Flugtag for Red Bull.
Yeah, so
I've watched this before. This is fantastic. Please explain to the listener what this is. I think this is so much fun.
It's basically people, not a lot of people know what it's called, but they probably would have seen clips at some point, you know, on social media or whatever. It's basically, though, that, you know, those guys, like, they make kind of homemade, I don't even know what you call them. I don't want to call them crafts or contraption is what I'm going to say. They make like a homemade contraption and they like fly it off the end of a pier, and whoever can fly the furthest in their contraption is the winner. It's as simple as that. So yeah, I am actually doing the commentary for it this coming weekend, which should be mad, to be honest with you.
It's great, man. So it's like people in these little soapbox styled flying devices jumping off the end of a pier. And some of them actually do try and get distance, right? But some of them just don't care. And it's just all about having a laugh, right? And they're exactly. My favorite ones, like, you know, a donut with tiny little wings on it that are the size of, I don't know, teaspoons, but the donut is enormous.
Yeah. The thing is, that is the great thing about it. It's like you get a real mixture of, and I feel like, because I'm going to be doing the commentary on it, it's actually my full commentary debut, because I've done loads of presenting, obviously, because that's my job, but I've not really ever done commentary. So I'm glad I get to commentate on something that is tongue-in-cheek for starters, because, you know, like, I don't think I'd really enjoy commentating on something that's like uber serious. So that's cool. But secondly, it's like, it's essentially say what you see, really, with this, because it's like you say, someone could rock up like, and we've got the big donut now, tiny little wings. Can't imagine he's going to go that far, but, you know, is he jam filled, custard filled? Oh, no, he's a ring. He's got a big hole in the middle.
Yes.
That might help for the aerodynamics.
And if he lands awkwardly, oh, that's really whipped his cream. Yeah, okay, I'm with you. I'm just, as Nick's been saying that, I've been looking at some of the Flugtag. The world record holder, right, has one that looks like a proper paraglider, and then I click on a few pictures and there's one like shaped like the Ghostbusters ectoplasm mobile or whatever it was called. And then there's another one which is a plane. It looks like a plane, but it's got a fork in the front of it. So, and then a banjo. They're insane. That's
what I'm saying.
So cool, man. Honestly.
It's superb, mate. The only downside is that I'm doing the commentary from a studio in London, because I would have loved to have, it's happening in Vienna, in Austria, and I would have loved to have flown out to do it. They probably made that decision actually before all the rules started changing, because we've had some rule changes here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Or they're about to come in. I don't think it's started yet. I think so actually this works better. I think in October we don't have to do tests or something. Is it like, it's hard to keep up with it all, to be honest with you, but like, it's basically easier now to go abroad.
Basically the government just went, yeah, go on then. Government's going, yeah, go on then.
They've
go
done
on.
That with everything now, though, haven't they? Like old, like, Bojo and, like, the, and the government, they, like, just went,
it's like an angry mother, like, I've told you to clean your room for the last 3 weeks, and do you know what, I've just given up, I'm not bothering anymore. That's it. Fine. You want to live in your own mess? Live in your own mess. You want to travel? Travel. That's what the government said. But yeah, Nick, I really look forward to that, man. That looks like a gig where, obviously, you know, we all enjoy what we do, but that looks like one that's just going to be an absolute pleasure to do, man. Flugtag. Fantastic, mate.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic. I've been driving a new Merc around. They fired over the EQA for us to have a little go on. From Mercedes, which is like, do you remember we got the GLA a little while back?
Yeah.
So it's like the EQA, I'd say, in short, if I was gonna give it a quick kind of one sentence review, it's the electric GLA, basically.
Yeah, well, it's the clue is in the A, essentially. The GLA is the kind of SUV version of the A class. The CLA is the coupe version of the A class, and the EQA is the electric version of the A class.
Exactly.
So how was that then? Because we've tried out a few different electric cars. Well, you definitely have tried out a few different electric cars. So how did the EQA stack up?
I mean, what do you want to know first, Nick, mate? Like, what like about how the car was in terms of it being a car or performance?
Just, I think for me, like, we will get into the nuts and bolts of charging time, how far it can go and blah, 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 because I know, like, a lot of people like to know that when it comes to electric cars, and it is really, really important. But from my point of view, how luxurious was it, mate? Was it nice?
Do you know what? I've got to be honest, right? Merc, right? Interior game wise at the moment, they're up there for me, right? And what with the GLA, I think you have to get some of the interior LEDs ordered, but you have to order them with the vehicle as an extra, as an add-on, but you actually get them as standard in the EQA. So getting inside it, you get that spaceship feel straight away. It's got that good energy. And the version that they gave us did have a few premium bits slapped on. They tend to do that with press cars. They kind of want to show you their best side. So it was, the cockpit was like pretty much identical to sitting in a C-Class now, the GLA. The only differences I would say would be that because of the electric setup of the vehicle, just some of the heads-up displays look slightly different. But other than that, very, very similar. And I enjoy it. It's comfortable seating, lots of space for me up front. With the new M-Buck system combined with the two, they have the two screens on your dash. One is your dash, your digital dash, and one is kind of your infotainment system. Now, what's cool is Mercedes has given you a choice with how you use it. So unlike other, like Audi, for example, you have to use this twister thing to access everything on your menu, but you can choose either to use your steering wheel to access your menus. You can either just touch the screen on the infotainment to access your menus, or you can use this little mouse pad that they have down by where a handbrake would be for you to access all the systems. Now, I kind of found myself using more of the touchscreen and more of the steering wheel, but you could use the little mouse pad if you want. And I just like the options there, really, because everyone's different. Some people are like, oh, it has to be touchscreen. And some people are like, oh, I hate having to touch the screen fingerprints. So that was nice that you had options there. In terms of a bit more luxe on the inside, the package we had the adjustable seats where you press there's this little picture of the seat next to your seat on the left-hand side or right-hand side, depending on what side you're sitting on. You can move that around to adjust your seat. I like it because it just makes sense, Nick. It's very simple in terms of if I push this bit of the seat, the back will go back. If I push this bit, it will go down.
It's the same as my car that I have.
Yeah.
The car that I got CLA.
Yeah.
And it's when you say a picture of the seat, it's actually physical buttons.
Yeah, physical buttons. Yeah.
And you tilt the back bit back if you want to tilt backwards, and you push the bottom bit backwards or forwards if you want to go forwards or backwards.
Exactly.
Easy to work out.
Exactly. Yeah. So very simple to use. The digital dash is pretty easy to work your way around. It's got M-Buck system, which is their version of inbuilt Siri. So you say, hey, Mercedes, turn on the air conditioning. Hey, Mercedes, put on the seat kinetics, which I love. Nick's not a fan of it. I like it. It just jiggles your seats around.
I just think it's a bit pointless. give me a full massage or just don't give me anything. I don't get why it's this sporadic kind of I'll move the leg bit. And then fucking 40 seconds later, I'll move the back bit a tiny bit. It's just weird.
Oh, man. It's supposed to keep you fresh. Like I said, we had some perks from the Premium Plus packages that we had. Even though I was in the 250D, which is the slowest of them, I had the AMG carpets. We had a sliding panoramic glass sunroof, which looked really nice, which is, to be fair, it's not like a standout thing that you can only get in that car, but it's a nice finish. Wireless smartphone charging, which I expect. Heads up.
How does that did you try out the wireless smartphone charging?
I did. I threw it down and it charged a little bit slower than with a wire.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
I don't know about you, but in my car, my actual car, it works, but it's so temperamental. As in, I'll put it on charge and it will start charging, then it would just stop charging by itself.
Really?
Yeah, it is really, really bad. It's one of the things that I might have to actually speak to Mercedes about it, because it's super temperamental with my phone.
I tell you what was temperamental. When I plugged my phone in for Apple CarPlay, which is that's my favorite thing in cars. I was like, do you have Apple CarPlay? Thank you. That's what I need from your infotainment system. It disconnected a couple of times. And I don't know whether that was my phone or whether that was the car, but it was my phone started acting a bit funny.
It's also a little bit irritating that they don't have wireless CarPlay. They thought of so much, and the MBUX system is probably, I haven't tried out every system, so I can't say it's the best, but I would say it's one of the leaders in the market. And it's just like, why haven't you got wireless CarPlay? Come on. Like, it's so long having to plug this in when we could, like, surely the technology is there because other manufacturers are doing it as standard.
Yeah, what did we have? What did we drive that at the wireless CarPlay?
Audi.
Yeah, was it the e-tron Q5?
Yeah, e-tron Q4 it was.
Q4, yeah.
And it's like, they've got the tech, and obviously, you know, Mercedes and Audi are direct competitors, both German. I would say that Mercedes is slightly more luxurious than an Audi, you know, like you've got kind of like Mercedes and BMW and then Audi maybe literally just below. Like, and I don't say that as like they're miles below. I mean, like, just because Mercedes and BMW have always been the direct rivals in Germany, haven't they? And then Audi kind of have come in later and they've really upped their game, by the way. Audi really, really upped their game. But I see that. And lesser manufacturers, in fact, have got wireless CarPlay. There's certain, you know, Citroëns and Peugeots and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, come on, Merc.
Yeah.
You should have had it in this car.
Yeah, and usually what the model is with those kind of big leading German brands is you'll get all of that in the high end and then it filters down to us over the years, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the S, normally I was reading a forum on some Mercedes website, some Mercedes fan site, and they were saying that the S class is usually the kind of one that all the tech goes into first, because that's the kind of luxurious one, isn't it? The S class.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that filters down into the other ones. E class is normally quite up there in terms of tech as well, and it filters down. But I was walking past an S class the other day, and there was a guy sitting in there, and he basically had TV on the system. He had like live telly. shit like that. So, you know, like, whereas they could easily do that in my car, because I've got my, you know, mine is the MBUX system. It's got the big screens as well. The two screens, I've got the bigger screens rather than the smaller ones.
Yeah.
You could easily have, like, you know, live telly on there if you wanted, but they decide not to. And I think it's because they don't want to give everybody everything right away. You know what I mean? They want you to... Because they want to separate the S class from the A class. You know, they want people to aspire to try and have the S class.
That's 100% it, man. If you put everything in your lower end models, then what have you got to go up for?
Exactly.
What have you got to reach for? Exactly.
Marketing, bro.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the inside. I mean, more about the inside is in terms of its space. It's slightly less space, basically, because of the electric motors, and it's got 340 litres of storage space, which is like 95 litres less than the GLA, which I guess you need to take into consideration if you've got a growing family, haven't you? Like, those extra 100 litres of space, that's extra stuff, isn't it? And it does feel slightly smaller in the back. I could fit 4 me's in it, but it'd be a little bit tight, I'll be honest. Yeah. It'd be a little bit tight to fit 4 6-foot-3 people into it. So it's got decent headroom as well. A little bit more about the outside, though. By the way, on the outside, it really would, if I just drove past you quickly and look at it, you'd probably think that as a GLA, Nick. It's got slightly softer lines on it, because that's what they're kind of adding into their look. And it's got the EQA style lights. They look dope. So, like, they've got these lights, headlights and rear lights as well, that obviously on the left and the right hand side, but there's this little thin line that goes across and connects them. And that,
yeah.
I can't, in the nighttime, Nick, that looks pretty mean. It does look nice. And they kind of nicked that off the EQA, like you said, you know, taking it off a higher model and brought that down for us. And the number plate sits quite low on it as well, which is quick little bit of information. If you put a bike rack on the back of your car, if you've got a low number plate, it means that your bikes don't get in the way of it, which is a good thing. In terms of the brake horsepower, it's 178 brake horsepower, which to me, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But what's important is 0 to 60 in 8.9 seconds and a top speed limited to 99 miles an hour. Not crazy fast. If you do want to go faster, you can move up in the range and get the EQA 300. I had a 250, that's 7.7, 0 to 60. And then the top of the range, 288 brake horsepower, does it in 6 seconds, which is... You know, that's rapid now, isn't it? But I always know with electric cars, when you start putting your foot down, that's when you lose range. You literally just see the range just dripping down. And speaking of range as well, the EQA has a range of 264 miles on paper. in the real world, Nick, it was more like 200 driving on a mixture of motorway and town driving, which for me is okay. But as we've said, with most electric vehicles, we just need that 300, 400. I'll take 350 as a good range. And I know that's a lot more, but that's what
you need to be able to make kind of journeys across the UK, ideally without having to stop and charge for ages.
Yeah.
You know, because unfortunately, and I know we have to try and get out of this mindset, the petrol, diesel, you know, mindset. But like, unfortunately, if you're in a rush and you do run out of petrol or diesel, you can stop and be re-upped in 5 minutes max. You know what I mean? Into the petrol station, fill it. You can fill up a full tank in and pay out back on the motorway. Mm. Whereas with an electric vehicle, even the fast charge, it's nowhere near that, you know, nowhere near. Like, what is the fast charge? You've got to stop for like half an hour, you know?
Exactly. And this is a very good point. So I'll go through it. So it's got a capability of up to 100 kilowatts for the charge, which means just to take 30 minutes to take it from 10% to 80%, which is interesting, that number. People always go, why not 0 to 100? Because with electric vehicles, it's not recommended that you run them really low or you keep them charged really high all the time. So if you are going to do a long journey, you can get like a really high charge in it, but they recommend you keep it between like 20 and 80 with most electric vehicles at the moment. That's what everyone's saying. So 30 minutes to take it from 10 to 80, like Nick said, is a lot longer than chucking a pump into your car and charging up for 5 minutes. However, if you're going on a luxury little family journey, stop the car, plug it in, go for a wee, get a coffee. Still needs to be a bit. I reckon 20 minutes I'll be happy with. 20 minutes would be good for me, yeah.
If you've got time, it's not an issue. You know what I mean? If you're, you know, like you say, taking it leisurely, blah, 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 it's cool. But it's, there's just issues with it that limit you a lot more than having a petrol or diesel car at the moment. And even for things like, I don't personally do this myself because, you know, it's not something that interests me. But you know how some people like towing a caravan to the north of Spain, or you know, whatever. Like, if you want to do that in an electric vehicle, it's a bit of a fucking myth, mate. You know, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You've got to stop a lot. You know,
a lot. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I will say this about the charger, though, Nick. If you are using it on a regular 3-phase 11 kilowatt, it's like 7 hours to charge your stuff. And also bear this in mind, the Volvo XC40, PA and Ford Mustang Mach-E, they offer 150 kilowatts charging power, which is that little bit quicker.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about as well, which, again, I think we're at this time now where they're kind of new electric vehicles. So these numbers might not mean as much to you, but I think as, like Nick said, when you think about different uses, you really have to kind of drill down on what car is going to help you save that time. Because if you have to charge it for an extra 15 minutes every single day, and that as part of your commute, because you do a long commute, that's now, you know, an hour and 15 minutes a week of extra charge time.
It starts adding up, mate.
50 hours or 60 hours a year, whatever that is. Do you know what I mean? That's a lot of time. That's, you know, that's that time you can be doing stuff. So
I was working just on a quick tangent. It's still to do with electric cars, but I was working at the Emirates Stadium, the Arsenal Stadium, on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was walking there from Highbury Islington Station, and down one of the side roads next to the football stadium, there was an electric car on charge. Can't remember what car it was, but it wasn't connected. It wasn't connected to like a charging point next to the road. They had an extension lead going into their house. But the way that they'd done it, because I don't think you're technically allowed to run an extension lead across the pavement. I think that's illegal, because obviously that's public right away. So how they had done it is they had the, you know, one of those round extension leads that like you can like coil the wire.
Yeah.
They had one of those, but that was on the dashboard of the car. Yeah. So they had that on the dashboard of the car, and then they had all the stuff that they needed plugged into it, and then plugged into the back of the car. And then they had the wire coming out of the extension lead out of the passenger window, which had been done up. Then they had it going up. They'd like parked next to a, you know, the like little signs next to the road that tell you how long you can park somewhere, or, you know, have the parking restrictions. They had it going up on that, had clipped it to the top of that, and then going into their top bedroom window so that it was going over your head. I was like, fucking hell, mate. These are some crystal maze thing just to fucking charge their car.
Oh, man. You know, they must have felt so pleased when they plugged it in, like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they have to like fucking undo it all and all that shit to next time you want. Oh, it's just long.
That is long. But yeah, man, I mean, look, there's talking about wheeling out extra chargers, and I can't wait for those, man.
Yeah,
charging every lamppost would be good as well.
That's a must. And it also has to be, that petrol and diesel cars can't park in the spaces, man.
Yes.
Because that was the issue around where I live here. When I had that Audi, there's like three lampposts that have got chargers in, but fucking they're not restricted only to electric cars. So every time I tried to park there, there was just a normal car park there, not plugged in. I was like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah. You know? They just put a sign up outside the office that says, please, can you leave this space free overnight for electric chargers? So
yeah, but please. Not like you have to. Whereas like when I drove to my parents' house in Portsmouth, the closest charger to their house was on the neighbouring road, but that had it was electric only. You couldn't park there unless you're in an electric car, and that's how it needs to be.
They'll probably start when they work out that they can issue tickets and make good money off it. They'll enforce that. Nick,
what's strange though is like where I live now is the same borough in London. It's the same borough as where I used to live. I used to live in Walthamstow, but I've moved to a different part of the borough now. And when I lived in Walthamstow, there was a space. I lived at the bottom of a, you know, where I used to live in Walthamstow. It's like a T junction.
Yeah.
So on the road at the bottom of the T, they had an electric charger put in on that road, and they changed the parking restrictions for where the charger was to electric only. I mean, the same borough, but here they haven't done that. So I don't understand why. Bit weird. So it's like they need to unify everything so that, you know, electric chargers are only you can only park next to it if you're an electric car, and also they need to increase the amount of electric chargers there are. Once they do that, it'll be a game changer.
Yes, I think it's coming. I think in 3 years' time we'll have it, and then
you won't need to run an extension lead out your passenger window and up over the pavement. Then you know you should just be all right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll wrap this one up then, because we've been banging on about it for a while. But yeah, man, it's a pleasant drive. I feel like now we have got to a point where all the car companies, the main players, are providing us with cars that give us a nice normal driving experience, except the only difference is you've got to plug in and charge somewhere else. I don't feel like it's they're struggling to kind of catch up with Tesla now. In fact, I mean, look, they've announced that that kind of G-Wagon electric version for Mercedes, and everyone's saying, boy, that's looking kind of naughty as well. But we'll talk about that when we get a test drive on it. But in short, I'd say the GLA is a pleasant drive. It's slightly smaller boot space, so you've got to think about that with your family, and not got the range that Nick and I want from all electric cars. So it can do a bit better there, and we'll get that over the years of electric vehicles. It's not the punchiest or the fastest at the lower range, but if you want to get that, you can spend the money on it. My only gripe is, and this might be because it's a quiet car, is that I can hear the rear view mirror flipping out. Like the rear view camera flipping
camera.
Out. Yeah. Like whenever you like in any sign of kind of traffic and there's cars around you, it's a nice safety system, which kind of makes you aware of the car, but you just hear the brrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr yeah, that's the only thing that was like a bit of a gripe. Can you just not make that? Can they make that motor a bit quieter? Is that possible, please, Mercedes? Thank you.
I love it how that's your tiny gripe is the fact you can hear the bloody. Like, it could have been like millions of things. Instead, it's like you can just hear the camera coming out, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
so
bruv.
Shit.
It's not cool, innit? You're chilling in your car, like, yeah, I'm just gonna. You're right there, bruv. You're right.
You got chicken in the back.
Yeah.
Quick question. Do you want your audio to sound as crisp as How to Kill an Hour's? Well, of course you do. And the Blue Yeti is one of the best mics out there to help you sound your best. It has different settings so you can record vocals for music, podcasts, Twitch streaming, YouTube videos, or any audio project that would normally require one or multiple microphones. We even used one for this advert. So whether you're at home, recording on the road, or anywhere in between, Yeti's tri-capsule technology helps you produce studio-quality recordings every single time. Yes, of course the Blue Yeti works with both Mac and PC via USB. Plus, it has a 3.5mm headphone jack so you can monitor your audio in real time. So do yourself a favour and level up your audio. Plus, get yourself 15% off the new Blue Yeti by going to bluemic.com and entering the code YETIPOD15. That's bluemic.com, offer code YETIPOD15.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So last week I asked you about the new iPhone. What was one of the things that you remember what you said you wanted out of it?
I wanted a better front camera was like the main thing that I think I said.
One thing that I guess that was close, but not super close, is center stage is something that's coming to iPad, right? Mm-hmm. And this is going to filter down to iPhone is my prediction, right? Thanks to a new 12 megapixel ultra wide front camera and neural engine, as people move around the stage, the camera will pan to keep you in view. It will zoom smoothly in and out to keep you in the conversation when you're having FaceTimes. So there is better camera, but I just want to say Apple are introducing this whole center stage, and I think that is going to be an iPhone's next. So you were close.
Close but no cigar. Close but no cigar. But look, we're at a stage now where I think phone improvements, like, I'm not going to say that it will never improve because there's always innovation and there's always new things that come out. But like, I feel like some of the things that they're trying to do, both Apple, Samsung, you know, a lot, basically the big players, some of the things that they're trying to do are just not what people care about or want.
Mm.
You know, like all this folding phone flip fucking screen shit.
Flip,
that just
folding,
needs to it needs to get in the bin, mate. Like I've not met anyone in real life. I've met people who are like, oh, I'd like to check it out, you know, as a gimmick, blah blah blah. But I've not met anyone in real life who looks at their iPhone and goes, you know what this really needs? It needs to be able to fold in half. Like yeah. Nobody really gives a shit about that.
Hey, but tell the truth though, Nick, yeah. When you slam a clam phone, a folding phone closed, yeah. When you slam it down on someone you don't like, fucking feels the best, doesn't it?
It's superb. You know, that's all they'd be doing it for. That's all they'd be doing it for.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, see you later. Ta-ta, bye-bye-bye. Yeah. Bitch.
Yeah, like the old, like, it's the same as when you used to use the home phone and you'd slam it down on someone.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole generation of kids that don't even know how that feels, you know? to have the phone slammed down on you. It's a different feeling to just being hung up on.
To pushing a button, isn't it? Isn't the same as hearing someone smash the phone.
And like, sometimes when they smashed it down, they didn't do it properly. So they'd like smash it down and you'd just hear it. You'd hear like more rustling and then smash it down again. You get a double smash. You know what I mean?
That's what you
hear. Oh, those are the days.
Trust me. So here's a few other things they've added in, Nick. California streaming, Apple Fitness Plus, guided meditation. So they're bringing some guided meditation and mindful cool downs to Fitness Plus. Fitness Plus is basically their, it's their own in-house exercise workout program, which connects with your watch and stuff. And to be fair, Nick, they're pretty cool exercise programs. They're really nice and varied, and they're very inclusive as well, and they're really diverse in terms of who's presenting the classes. And I think it is a nice way for them to get into the fitness side of things. They've also added audio meditation, which they've kind of added onto fitness as well. When you go for walks, right, or runs, there are these little, you can choose to listen to, like, in, they had these little interviews which are really nice, but they've also added in some more reflected and fitness and guided meditations as well, which I think it's a good little look. Pilates in there as well. I'm not really a Pilates fan, but if you're into that, cool, you can crack on. Again, you can monitor your heart rate while you're doing that. I told you about the iPad, that they've added a little bit of extra juice to the camera. The A13 Bionic chip, which, long story short, makes it work 3 times faster than the best-selling Chromebook, they say, and 6 times faster than the best-selling Android tablet, is what they say as well. And True Tone is something you've got on iPad, which means it's light sensors, means that it adjusts the screen temperature to the room. So if it's a big, bright yellow room, then it adjusts the screen. If it's blue light, it adjusts the screen as well. Storage has been adjusted for the iPad as well. It's just gone up. But for the iPhone, Nick, they got the 1TB, the 1TB iPhone. Is out
ridiculous
there, bro.
For me. Ridiculous.
1 TB.
Just ridiculous.
Whee! Come on.
it's madness. Like, there's people who have got, before 1 TB was it 512, the biggest one?
512, yeah. 512, yeah.
So, and I've seen people who are like, I've got hours and hours worth of video, like, I got pictures, I got this, I got that, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I've only used, like, you know, 200 and something, 300 and something. The 1 TB, it's going to end up costing peas as well, isn't it? It's going to be expensive. Do we have the price points
just
for these?
Yeah, I've just looked at mine. 512 gigabytes, I've got 176 available. Right. I can hear Nick's eyes rolling in his head. Right, so the prices we have got. I'm just jumping on the pre. By the way, I'm saying all of this, and you know, I've pre-ordered mine anyway.
What, 1 TB?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
classic.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you why I have in a second. So the iPhone 13.
See, look, mine. I've only got the 256. Yeah, and I've got 191 available.
There you go. You're just very optimized, Nick. It starts at £779 a 13. 128 gigabytes.
What's the 1 TB, mate? That's what we're asking here.
You wanna go? Okay, cool. We'll go for the one terabyte. The 1 TB, I should really know, shouldn't I? But I'm kind of just put the order in, and the 1 TB starts at £1,000. The Pro Max, 1 TB is £1,500.
That's what I'm saying. For a phone, this is too much. Oh, £1,500, I can get a MacBook Pro.
It's something that you use, though, more than anything else, though, isn't it? I'd dare to say that your phone's more important than your MacBook Pro. I dare to say that, because I think, like, without your phone, mate, for a day, your laptop for a day, you're all right.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but like, I could just get a 128 phone. And then just like get a MacBook Pro for £1,500.
I hear what you're saying, bruv. But I genuinely do sometimes have so much footage on my phone that we shoot that I need to offload as well. So that's what I'm going to justify my 1 TB-ness with.
All right.
You're not having it at all, are you? Also, right. Apple done an extensive study of cinematography and the powerful use of rack focus. So they now have cinematic mode on the iPhone that will record videos of people, pets and objects with beautiful depth effect and automatic focus changes. So you're going to have that extra cinematic look. And you can also shoot really high res 4K 60 frames a second. Yeah.
Look,
sexy.
Listen, I'll tell you something right now. Yeah. I didn't even watch the Apple event, and I'll tell you for why. Because like I said on the last episode, these lot are the masters of making you feel like what you have is inadequate. Like, and it's a global pando, mate. I'm not ready to upgrade my phone for 1500 quid yet. That's not happening. It's just not happening, guys. So I deliberately did not watch the event because if I did, I'd be looking at my phone now like, you piece of shit. What is this piece of shit phone? You know what I mean? This may as well flush this down the toilet. You know what I mean? Because that's what I don't know how they do it. They must have like hypnosis built into what you're watching. You know what I mean? Because you watch it and then you come away just like, well, I just need to throw all of my tech in the bin because it's shit.
I can't lie, Nick. They got me when... After I saw you live tweeting about it, I was like,
well, Marcus has been sucked in.
After I watched it, I was like, you know what? I need this. And I think I may move. Like, we do shoot YouTube content, like run and gun with cameras. But I think this current generation of iPhone and the next one is the true iPhone where I think by whipping it out and using it to film instead of a camera, you could get very good content a lot of the time. I think 5 years ago, people were like, yeah, you can film a film on an iPhone. Yeah, it looked all right, unless you really knew what you were doing. Now I think they've idiot-proofed it, so you can just whip out and shoot with it. But yeah, Nick, that was some of the takeaways. Yeah, go on, you're saying?
I was just going to say, I saw somebody tweet something, and I'm in agreement with it. I think what Apple should do is, when it comes to their events, they need to be a little bit more transparent in... like they'll show like amazing footage or an amazing photo or this or that, but they won't say if any kind of peripheral stuff has been used in conjunction with the phone for that shoot. It would just say shot on an iPhone, but it's like, is there a gimbal involved with this shoot? Is there, do you know what I mean? Like I feel like they need to be a little bit more like that, because sometimes you'll just get the phone and you'll think you can recreate those images and it's not exactly the same because there's been certain lenses clipped on or this, that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they just need to be a little bit more transparent with that stuff.
Yeah. And do you know what? They are better than they used to be. And that was all phone companies a few years back were like, you'd see the rigging in it, those behind the scenes rigging, and you'd see like 15 lenses on it. They are getting closer. Of course they're going to touch up a photo in post, but we can all touch up a photo in post. But you know, yeah, I hear what you're saying though, Nick. I hear what you're saying. But
you know, like, I just think like, marketing, so, yeah, look, I get it. At the end of the day, the game is the game, mate. But like, I just think, they could just be a little bit more honest. Like, oh, this photo was taken on an iPhone and then like fucking Photoshopped to fuck, Lightroomed to fuck. But you know, it was taken on an iPhone. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know, look, some people, yeah, like I said, there were those behind the scenes from other people showing the massive stuff they put on it. But you know, it's one of those ones, bruv. But right, the rest of the tech world, what's going on? Here's a nice one for you as a man who's never really, not really experienced the golden arches for a few years. This is going to have less of an impact on your life than it is myself and the listener. But a massive chain in the fast food world has decided to accept Bitcoin. El Salvador's Bitcoin law went into effect on Tuesday, making the launch of the historic and controversial bid to make the Latin American country the first in the world to make cryptocurrency officially recognized as money along with the US dollar. Long story short, means that you can now buy a meal at McDonald's with Bitcoin. Woo! I mean,
all right.
You can roll in and spend that Bitcoin on Mickey D's now, bruv.
McBitcoin.
Trust me.
I mean, okay, cool. I guess it's like the kind of big takeaway, pun, from it is that see what I did there, is that that was shocking, is that the more big companies that accept Bitcoin and all of that, we kind of lean more towards a cashless society and the traditional ways of payment, there's more of a chance of them disappearing. Is that drilling at my end or your end?
It's at your end, not on mine.
Who are these motherfuckers? What is going on here?
Oi!
Sorry to everybody that can hear that. Some wanker is doing some DIY.
I'm leaving that in. Yeah. 100%. Is that drilling going on? Excuse me? Why are you drilling?
Don't know what the hell they're doing, but you know, it's, you know when you live somewhere where it feels like someone is always doing something?
Oh my day. Yeah, like, what was it on the weekend? I love the way we just digressed. On the weekend, I was like, oh, I'm going to have a lovely line on Saturday and relax my bones a bit. Saturday, I swear to God, for the third week in a row, they were doing gardening. Like someone was doing gardening, but not like a little bit of lawn mowing. It was taking down a tree, blowing leaves, everything that was noisy. Not like, you know, planting a new plant in a potted plant or whatever, nice and quiet. It sounded like they were cutting down the Amazon rainforest. And I was just like, oh, for God's sakes, man, why Saturday? Like, can you not just do this on a Monday? But I guess they're at work. Anyway, so McDonald's is accepting Bitcoin using the Lightning Network, so you can pay for Mickey D's with cryptocurrency. Sounds like it's not a big deal, but that's quite impressive. That's quite impressive, man. So that's a big step.
Yeah.
It's a big step.
All right.
Shout out to El Salvador.
For all the Bitcoin, all the Bitcoin fanboys out there are going to love that.
There you
for
go.
Me, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Don't go McDonald's. Don't do Bitcoin.
This will affect you. There's 37 new emojis that have been added.
Come on, there now we're talking.
There we go. We've got a pregnant man, a green skin troll, and three beans. I will send you a... I'm sending Nick a link. There is a link. You will see.
Yeah, don't worry. I've already got it.
See, he's on it now.
Now, this is the kind of shit I care about. No. There's a slide.
Yes.
There's a battery, like a dead battery as opposed to a full battery.
Dead battery,
There's like biting your lip in a sexual manner.
That has
like
got to be lips. One of my favorite. That's going to get rinsed, isn't it? That one.
Yeah, man. That I'm going to get totally rinsed.
I'm going to start putting.
Finally, there's a king emoji.
Yes.
There's been a like queen one forever.
Yes.
There's a king one now. There's also like a smiley melting.
The smiley melting will be good for when it's hot weather. That'll be used a lot.
There's one doing a salute.
There's one doing a salute.
Hiding its eyes but peeping out of what through one of its hands.
That's very appropriate.
Tell you which other one will be good. The finger pointing. The hardcore pointing one.
The one that's pointing out the screen at you.
Yeah. Exactly. That one would be good.
Yeah. There's also like a above that though in the picture we're looking at, Nick. Is that a click?
It looks like a clicked
hand.
Like a click.
Yeah. They've got a bunch of shaking hands as well, which is nice. They've got lots of different
some
races.
Of them, I'm like, who decided to, like, there's much more needed emojis than, like, what is that? Is that seaweed?
It looks like coral under the water.
Coral. Yeah. Three beans? Is that magic beans? Like, an empty nest and a full nest.
Yeah, the emptiness and fullness is weird. And then there's this kind of flower one, which, if I'm honest, looks like a Rudy part of a woman's body.
It could get used for that, to be fair.
And do you know what actually also looks like? If you look at the right, it looks like a bum hole, a very inflamed bum hole. A prolapse. It looks like a prolapse bum.
Because, you know how like the aubergine has been hijacked, or the eggplant.
Yeah, eggplant. That
will now be the female version of that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I like, there's an X-ray one in there as well. These effects are going to come into major platforms at late 2021 or 2022, Nick. Early 2022. Sorry about that, man. Apologies. Right. But we'll now have 3,633 emojis to select. And thankfully now, the new pregnant emojis recognize that pregnancy is possible for some transgender men and non-binary people. So it's helping us to have broadened minds and also us to be perverted as well. In different ways. My favorite one out of all of these is probably the emoji that is covering its eyes but having a little peek, and also there's like a smiling face which is got slightly tilted, its mouth slightly tilted to the left. I like that one. It's kind of like, just like,
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's, there's already a relatively similar one to that, though.
Yeah.
What I will say, but you know, whatever.
There is one that's smiling and crying at the same time. That's going to be used for comedy value as well, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. When someone's like trying to smile through something, but they're crying at the same time. But the,
it's like that meme. You know that meme where it's like you're crying underneath the smiley mask.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like that. That's basically what it is. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, man. There you go, Nick. You got some new emojis coming your way that you can tuck into, bruv. I thought you'd be excited about that. And here's something that you should be thinking about in the next 40 years, Nick. Doctors are to use remotely operated robots to give checkups on care home residents with Alzheimer's disease and other conditions. So the pilot will use a technology pioneered by the National Robotarium at the Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, and it uses machine learning and artificial intelligence, and it will see health practitioners and control a robot over the internet to interact with residents in facilities run by Blackwood Homes and Care in Scotland. So now robots are going to be doing care work. Very
about time we got them doing something useful, to be fair.
Before they take over the world, I want to put them to work. Yeah. Before I become a slave to the robots, I want to make them do everything that I don't want to do. Hoover for this, me. Help this me is, out.
We're falling into the trap. This is why there is a robot uprising, because we're getting them to do all the shit we don't want to do.
Right.
And then they'll be like, fuck this. I'm not doing this bollocks anymore. And then that's why they go, exterminate.
They're going to know. Yeah. They're going to know our weakness. They're going to be like, right, cool. So Marjorie, she's got a gammy leg, so she can't get up the stairs. David, he needs help standing up. So if we just get rid of those robots, we'll all be... Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. I'll tell you what. Have you had any... you're quite a toughie, though, isn't it? You don't go doctors, do you? I've had a consultation over video call. So the other day, I called 111 because I cut my finger doing the dishes, right? There was a broken glass in there and it really badly cut my finger and I thought it might need stitches. So I called 111 and they got a doctor to call me. Shout out to the NHS, by the way, absolute legends. The doctor called me and they were like, oh, I'm going to send you a link, click on it and I can do a video call and have a look at your finger. I was like, what?
Well, there's an app called Push Doctor, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's basically like that, but you have to pay every single time.
Yeah, this was like free. This was NHS, baby. I did it, and they had a look at the thing, and they were like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, yeah, I think you need to go and get a dressing, da-da-da-da-da, yeah, I'll book you an appointment in at your local minor injuries or whatever they call it, little accidents or whatever, they call it, give it a different name for it now, isn't it, instead of minor injuries. Urgent little care, accidents. I don't know what it is, little accidents. So I was like, you go
don't think it's
yourself.
That.
Yeah. A little accident. But yeah, that was quite impressive. But anyway, clinicians will be able to see through the eyes of the robot, move around the room or between rooms and operate its hands to carry out more complex assessments.
Fair play.
You up for that?
I mean, I don't know how I'd feel about it, but I guess by the time that I'm in a care home, I don't really know what the fuck's going on, mate. So, you know, bring the robots on, is what I say. Thank you for listening, as always. Hopefully we've educated you with some some tech stuff, as well as talking some bollocks and big up the drill man in the background. Love that guy. Hopefully he'll be back next week. This podcast created by Marcus Bronzy, Nick Bright, and the man doing the drilling. Produced by Billy Wright, sound designed by James Sloan. But funnily enough, the drilling was not sound design. That's just organic. And listened to by you. And if you are doing some drilling or any DIY whilst listening, big up you for ruining somebody else's podcast somewhere else.
Let's...
Quick question. Want your content to sound as crisp as How to Kill an Hour's? Course you do. And the Blue Yeti is one of the best mics out there to help you sound your best. It has different settings so you can record vocals for music, podcasts, Twitch streaming, YouTube videos, or any audio project that would normally require multiple microphones. We even used one for this advert. Whether you're recording at home, on the road, or anywhere in between, Yeti's tri-capsule technology helps you produce studio quality recordings every single time. Yes, of course, the Blue Yeti works with both Mac and PC via USB. Plus, it has a 3.5mm headphone jack so you can monitor audio in real time. Do yourself a favor and level up your audio. Plus, get yourself 15% off your new Blue Yeti by going to bluemic.com and entering code YETIPOD15. That's bluemic.com and offer code YETIPOD15.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.